Today we're going to consider two closely related subjects, vows and oaths. We'll begin with two sections of today's Parsha, Parshat Naso. Open first to the book of Numbers, chapter 5. Here we find the laws concerning a man who has a spirit of jealousy. He believes his wife has been unfaithful. He may be correct in his belief, he may be incorrect, but either way, he brings his wife to the priest to perform a ceremony. We're going to read verses, chapter 5 of Numbers, verses 19 through 22. And the priest shall charge her by an oath, and say unto the woman, if no man hath lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee besides thine husband, then the priest shall charge the man with woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, Yahweh make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when Yahweh doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. And this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell, thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, Amen, Amen. Here we see an example of an oath. In chapter 6, still in the book of Numbers, we see the laws of the Nazarite. Numbers, we're going to read chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate himself to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto Yahweh, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. There are more laws covering the Nazarite, but this is enough to illustrate the form of a vow. What is a vow? A vow is a promise to perform a certain action. What is an oath? An oath is a promise that what is being said is true. These definitions sound simple, but there is a lot of overlap between the two. So today we're considering them both. Both vows and oaths are spoken out loud, and the Almighty considers these words to be binding. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 21 through 23. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Yahweh thy God, thou shalt not be slack to pay it, for Yahweh thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which has gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed to Yahweh thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. God says that you're not required to make vows, but if you do, God will require you to perform it. That's why Jephthah's hasty vow in the book of Judges, chapter 11, results in such great lamentation. The scripture says you will keep your vow. That's one reason why marriage vows are so important to God, because God says you will keep your vows. There are many examples of vows and oaths in the scripture. One example is found in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 19. Jonathan is pleading with his father, King Saul, to spare David. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 6 reads, And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, As Yahweh liveth, he shall not be slain. Often when someone swears an oath, the person who's pronouncing the oath invokes the name of God or heaven. This verse illustrates the overlap between vows and oaths. It is normally understood that one swears an oath. Here Saul is swearing to commit to an action, sparing David. Since it's an action, we might think of it as a vow. Vows and oaths are not only for humans. God also uses his words in similar manners. In Luke chapter 1, we read the story of the birth of Yohanan the Immerser, John the Baptist. After John was born, verse 67 tells us the following. Luke chapter 1, verse 67, And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, What follows are words that were ordained by God under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 72 and 73, To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers Abraham. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the priest says that God made an oath. He swore an oath to our father Abraham. The writer of Hebrews elaborates on this. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Hebrews chapter 6, 13 through 17. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. What is he saying here? What is the writer of Hebrews saying? Let's finish in verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God swore an oath that he, God, would perform a promise. The writer of Hebrews emphasizes that God will honor his oath. In the book of Acts, chapter 18, the apostle Paul met Priscilla and Aquila. We're going to read Acts chapter 18, verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried a good while, and then took his leave of his brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Some people think this was Aquila who had taken the vow. If you read the chapter carefully, it appears that it's probably Paul. Paul made a vow. This is after the death and resurrection of Yeshua. Paul made a vow. Today's Brit Hadashah reading was in Acts chapter 21. Paul arrived in Jerusalem. Paul told James about his ministry among the nations. Verse 18 says, and the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Keep in mind now who was involved in this conversation. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle James, and the elders in Jerusalem. Let's read verses 20 through 24. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brethren, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous for the law. They are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say unto thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Take them, purify thyself with them, be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all make known that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou hast kept thyself and walkest orderly and keepest the law. Notice clearly these details. Not only do Paul and James and the elders of Jerusalem all honor the vows of the four men, James and the elders instruct Paul to pay for the animal sacrificed for the vow. And Paul does it. Now, that doesn't fit most people's theology, but that's not the subject today. For the purpose of our study today, we'll only point out that the apostles honored vows. Not only did they acknowledge people made vows, but they honored them. Continuing on, Yeshua had some instructions for us concerning oaths. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, read verses 33 through 37. Again, you have heard that hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto Adonai thine oaths. But I say unto thee, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. We're instructed by Messiah to refrain from oaths and just say yes or no. Some people, I've personally known people who would swear oaths, and they would say, I swear what I'm saying is true. There's an ancient Jewish observation. Any person who needs to swear an oath in order to be believed can never be believed, whether he swears or not. The Apostle James also addresses this subject. In the book of James, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if Adonai will, we shall live and do this or that. What is James here saying? How can we ever say that we'll do something in the future? We're not guaranteed that we'll be alive tomorrow. James tells us that instead of saying, I will do this, we should say, if it is the will of the Almighty, and if he grants me life, I will do it. In the very next chapter of the same book, the apostle echoes Messiah's words from the book of Matthew. James chapter 5, verse 12 reads, But above all, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. It sounds very, very close to what we just read in Matthew chapter 5. We should not swear oaths. Is this line of reasoning something new to the gospel, from the Gospels? Was this here before the Brit Hadashah? 1,000 years before Messiah's birth in Bethlehem, Solomon wrote the following in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's mouth is known by a multitude of words. Solomon wanted us to be careful with our words. Specifically, what type of words? Read on, verses 4 through 7. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy foot to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Why should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are diverse vanities. But fear thou God. It is better not to vow than to fail to fulfill a vow. It is better to say yes or no than to swear an oath. God cares about his words. And it's because God cares about his words that we have a guarantee of salvation. That's what we just read in Hebrews. The scripture tells us God cares about his words, and we should care about our words as well. Keep yourself from vows. Keep yourself from oaths.